Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. My God, Body and I were just off air, and normally it's like, let's get into it. We had to speak for 15 minutes. There is that much gone on this week in the league, in the WNBL, in the NBL, the awards, off the court, on the court. Oh, Botond, what a week, my man.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. There's so much for us to cover. I mean, we've got Boomers happening this week, so it's like,
who?
Let's jump. Yeah, the Boomers. They're playing the superpower Guam. Yeah.
Sorry,
the Boomers. You're going to be tuning in.
Guam. Is that? Yeah. Are we going there?
Yeah, we're going to Guam, and then on to Manila, which should be interesting.
That's like for me. That's like watching the All-Star Weekend. Move on.
Okay, let's go to WNBL because it's been terrific.
Wow, WNBL. All right, so we probably didn't get it 100% right because we both said in straight sets.
Yeah.
Right. Perth did what they had to do. Semi-finals, obviously, Townsville are in the grand final now. They will have home court advantage, obviously. But Southside fired back in game two, won by 20. I noticed a little bit of a sly remark to a few of us commentators by Kayla George at the end there, saying, there you go. It's still Perth and Townsville that are in the grand final. So,
yeah, funny that. So even though she's had a crack at people that were picking a Perth-Townsville final, guess what? It's a Perth-Townsville final. So, you know, if you're going to talk, you better walk the walk. She did in that game. She certainly did in that game.
No, she was brilliant in that game. No question. Yep. You've got to give credit where credit's due. Yeah.
But let's be honest, Townsville had home court advantage in that series. They go into – they won the first game. They were up by 30-plus. They won by 28. They go into the second game. They're playing with house money.
Shannon, they weren't ready. Yeah.
No, but Shannon Seabone, the coach, was crook. He had gastro, probably shouldn't have been there.
23-6 first quarter.
Yeah.
Right? They're down 43.
No. That's game one. You're looking at
there. Sorry. Game one. Sorry, when you said they're up by 30. I was sorry. I was still looking at that
during
one.
The course of that game one. Yeah.
Well, game one, go for this for one sec. At halftime, it was 43-19.
Yeah, it was a 17-0 start. It was over.
Game two, you're right. They were up 40, I think it was 49-43 or something like that at halftime. So, yeah, that was a much different game. But the third quarter was the telling, 33-22. That's what I noticed.
Absolutely. But as I say, you're playing with house money in terms of Townsville. You're still going home where you've been very, very difficult to beat. So I think that was Southside's shot in the locker. They did really well. They played great.
Yeah, they did. I thought Matty Rocci was good too.
I was just about to say exactly that, Brad, that I think that was possibly the best game I've seen Matty Rocci play in her career. I thought she was outstanding, 24-11 with zero turnovers.
Backed it up in game three with 20 at 56% shooting, and then she had 8 assists and 2 turnovers. So, I thought she was good. There was a little bit of stuff that went on with the crowd there. I haven't been able to find much about. I haven't seen much about it. I mean, I can assume I've played in Townsville. That would have been someone yelling at something or something. I don't know. But for her to react like that, that did seem a little bit more than normal. I don't know Maddie really well, but from feedback and what I hear, lovely girl. Like, there's no way. Like, it must have been something for her to react like that is what I'm saying. Yep. So, but I only hear positive things about her. So I hope that's all.
But I don't necessarily hear positive things about the Townsville crowd at times. So,
mate, I've been abused up there completely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's true for every venue in Australia for you.
Well, that's true. And I wasn't even playing.
You just walked past the venue.
I just dropped in for a holiday.
Townsville ultimately got it done. Yeah. I think Alicia Froling's last game was pretty tremendous. I thought her series was great. And they get it done. So now here we go. We start on Thursday. We've got what we wanted. Well, not what we wanted, but what we predicted, Townsville-Perth.
Let's go straight at it. Who's winning it?
Perth.
Yeah, I agree. I think game one is going to be absolutely massive.
Yes.
And I think both teams, would be sitting here going, thank God we got through the semis because we were meant to. Now we go. All right. So I think it's I just think the firepower of Ali Wilson. I mean, Chibatoni, who I'm a massive fan of. Alex was, she did okay. Didn't have to do much, and that was great.
Made winning plays.
That's what I mean. Yeah. She took 2 shots. In game, I think it was game two or one. I can't even remember what. I just remember that was game one. She took 2 shots, and I'm just thinking to myself, that is just the class. She's there. She still played 30-odd minutes, so it's not like she wasn't performing. But I just think with her, Hanzu, Maley, Atwell, they're a tough squad to beat, man. They really are.
Hanju in that deciding game with Bendigo, 25 points, 14 rebounds, just went up a level, and they used her a lot better. So I think she's going to be a real headache for Alicia Froling and for Alex Fowler, Chantal.
I agree. And when you got like a Hanju doing what she's doing, but then you get Annalie Maley, just, you know, every rebound possible, basically, you know, just gives you more and more possessions, right? You know, that they just seem to have so much more time, if that's the right words.
And she's the female Dennis Rodman, but totally, hence, but also scores, which is
She just got amazing timing. That's what just got a sniff for the ball. It's unbelievable. And you know, then you got girls, like Ali Wilson can knock down a shot anytime. You know, Chiba can tip in and do whatever she needs. And Atwell, you know, if she's on, it's just even better, you know. Yep. So it's it's a very tough thing, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Thursday night and then game two Sunday. And just so everyone knows, there is no game three scheduled yet, so we wouldn't even know. So obviously, I hope it goes game three because I think the season deserves it. Yeah, I think the season deserves it.
I think Townsville, if they can slow the game down, if they can slow Perth down, because you see, Perth is such an offensive juggernaut, but defensively, I'm pretty sure Amy Atwell couldn't guard a rocking chair. So, I mean, you can get past some of those kids, and it's Hanju that actually sort of becomes the final deterrent. But, I mean, if you can force them to play defense, you can get a game off them, I'm sure of it.
I can't disagree with that. All right, so are we saying, I'm saying 2-1 Perth, which means they've got to win in Townsville. They've got to go back.
Which they've done.
So I think both teams win one, and then I think Perth win it in Townsville. You're saying Perth. Are you saying in two?
Well, if it's going to be a Perth win, and it's going to finish in Townsville, then it has to be Perth winning in Townsville.
So no, that of means course. You, that's my point. I think it's 2-1.
So you're saying, Townsville in one, Perth in two, and then back to game three.
Well, I'm not convinced because I think both teams, when they're down one, will lift that little bit more. Now, I don't know which way it's going to be, right? So I'm not convinced that way. But I just think we'll go to game three. If Townsville win it in two, that's going to be difficult. Are you saying Perth win it at home or Perth win it in Townsville? That's what I'm asking.
I think Perth win it at home, actually.
So two games.
I think we've had our one super upset in the playoffs, and that was Southside getting game two of the semi.
Not if you ask Kayla George, buddy.
Yeah, but she was saying it. Hey, this is for all you people that said Townsville Perth are playing the final. Guess what, Kayla? Townsville Perth are playing the final. Anyway,
best moment. I'll go first. Look, I am going to go Kayla George. I just thought for that game too, I think it was 32-11 and 6. I mean, the comment afterwards, like, I think the whole of Australia has thought who was going to make the playoffs. I don't think we're alone Rangers here. Interesting comment, but, you know, credit where credit's due. She was good game.
Yeah, okay, good game. But I thought of the series, I thought Alicia Froling was the unsung hero for Townsville. Mm-hmm. 17-8 in game one, 19-7 in the loss, and then come home strongly with 26-9 in the game three decider. So for me, it's Alicia Froling.
Okay, shout out to Han.
Free throw that she shoots is fantastic.
Brilliant. Shout out to Hanju, who had 25-14 as well, because that was where I was tipping, right? Yep. And the one that was hard is, you know, I have gone with a person that lost the series, but they did win that game. So I can see where you're coming from. But yeah, I think all three that we've mentioned right there, very worthy winners. What's your best moment?
My best moment is actually not within the game. It was post-game after the Perth-Bendigo series where Kelsey Griffin, who we all, everybody should respect as one of the greats of our WNBL.
Love and adore is the answer, absolutely.
She sat there afterwards and spoke so glowingly about Alex Cibatoni from the Perth Lynx, she wanted daughter to be like Alex, the poise she shows. Yeah. And just the praise she heaped on her was, I thought, extremely classy from a team that had just been eliminated and would not be feeling great because the year's over. I thought the way she carried herself and what she spoke of and what she said was just excellent. So that for me was actually the moment of the semi-finals, hearing what a classy player like Kelsey Griffin, who, by the way, in that last game went 18 and 15 in game two, that 6-point home loss. You know, she put left.
Oh, look, shout out, and great one, by the way, great. A shout out to Bendigo. I think this was a miraculous year for them.
Yes.
Like, I really do. For what, you know, for where they got, how many games they won, you lose a massive impact player throughout the season of Tolo, which we've spoken a lot about.
Yeah.
But to, I don't want to say you didn't lose a beat, because that would be disrespectful to Tolo. But what others did to step up and play, probably, you know, like Rees, the, you know, best season by her by far. And the fact that they were still out to be not just compete, they were there for first spot for most of the season. Yeah, they get knocked out, but I think there's such great upside. And that's a huge shout out to Bendigo for a great year.
I take my hat off to Kennedy Kariyama for the work he did.
Yes.
But eventually, as we saw, Mariana's absence did take its toll.
Oh, righty.
I wish I hadn't said that now. Oh,
can we put some music on that? All right, that's it for the WNBL. Thank you, Borond. Good luck, girls, and we're looking forward to watching it. Well,
yes.
If I said to you, Boddy, 2018, 2020, 21, 24, 25, and now 26, who am I talking about? The one and only six-time MVP
your dad.
Bryce Cotton.
Your stepfather.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not talking about the coach. Sorry. We're talking about Bryce. Oh, I thought we were talking about Brian. Because he's won it seven times coach of the year now.
Oh,
he's
didn't even know won that. Up on, I wouldn't know. I'm not that close to Brian. So, you know.
Come on.
Starting with the MVP. Well done, Cotton. I sit here and I've been saying it all year. Bryce Cotton was the MVP for me, no question. Now, I would have been disappointed if Kendrick Davis got it and not Bryce, but I had no problems with it being a duel. Now, there's a lot of crap. We're going to go straight into this. There's been a lot of talk and Kendrick's come out and I got to be honest, made some very valid points, mind you, right? Yeah. And said what's going on and how is this and how is that? And, you know, some people are saying, is it sore losing or is it not?
It is sore losing, but
you know what? I don't care if it's sore losing. That's what it meant to him. Good on ya. Right? Have a crack, mate. Who cares? Like, you're not happy about it and let it know. Don't know if it's something you want bothering you right now. And some people could use that as fire and God bless it. Other people, you know, you don't want it to be a distraction. But I do say I would have been very happy with a duel MVP for the first time in a long time. And I actually say that with coach of the year as well, because I thought Josh King was outstanding. I have no what Gorge has done this year to be able to take the team where they were at 3-5, have that fever break, no problems. But I thought Josh King was outstanding and I would have been very comfortable to have that duel as well.
The reason I would have preferred Josh to Brian is only because Brian's team at the start of the year, you were on them. Lots of people were on them, were saying this is the team that can win the championship. So when they went 3-5, you know, there was a lot of noise around, a lot of white noise about Brian. And then he's brought them back to exactly the top of the table. That's where they finished, the top from 3-5. So that's been an outstanding performance.
Yeah.
However, you know, a lot of people did rate that team. I wasn't one of them. I rate them now that they got Torrey Craig. But look at what Josh King did with Phoenix. Nobody expected him to make the six, Brad. The six.
Yeah.
And they were in contention for a top two finish in automatic semifinals. So that's an outstanding performance, because basically we were talking about Nathan Sobey and a cast of castaways. And now, we talk about everybody on that team, Foxwell, Hunter, Owundu, Brown, you know, all of them, Angus Glover, you know, we talk about all of them as though they're stars. Well, who did that? Josh King did that. And I thought that's why he's a little bit unlucky to be runner-up.
Good points. I can't really argue that. I just come back to it. I would have been happy with both, because the thing that, and you know, yes, I love Gorge, but like the thing that I just thought was unbelievable this year is how much of a hole a coach was in. There was a big hole for Gorge, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of pressure on them, you know, players, Delhi coming, all of this and Decatur. There was a lot of pressure and Torrey Craig, didn't get him out of that pressure.
They're on the roll.
And I just thought, credit where credit's due. That was pretty amazing.
But for me, the difference is not that he pulled them out of that. He pulled them out of it because he's the GOAT. All right, he's a great coach.
Yep.
But when you put Torrey Craig on top of that, now you go, okay, now they're going to win the championship.
Yeah, now, I agree. Yeah.
But without him, we're still looking at, say, Bull Quayle before he got injured. And I'm sorry, Brad. You said last week that, you know, he should be up there in the best defensive. He's lucky.
No, I don't. Not Bull Quayle.
He is not a great defensive player.
Hang on. I think he is a good defensive player. I think he's very physical.
Completely.
Okay, but what I am saying is he definitely didn't deserve to be even in the top three of the awards when you're that injured. No.
You say he's a great defensive player, who do you liken him to? Damian Martin? Darren Lucas?
No.
Darnell Mee? No. Those are great defensive players because they're not holding you off the ball. They're not getting two stupid fouls in the first quarter. They're not doing the kind of nonsensical stuff that Bull Quayle does. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't a good defensive player because when he came from Cairns over, he was. But you think back to the start of this season when they were 3-5 and off air, maybe even on air, we spoke about how much money he was costing the Kings and how paying him marquee money was influencing their ability to get other guys. So we weren't looking at him as, oh, he should be up in the defensive award. We're looking at he should be sitting on the bench.
So, my answer, and I think this is a very valid conversation, my answer to that is I look at it slightly different. I look at it, tell me a player that wants to be guarded by him. And the answer will be, oh, I don't want to get guarded by him. I'm going to get hacked. I'm going to get cracked. I'm going to get pushed. But there's your point.
That's not
there's
defense.
Your point. No. But he does it in a way, and he gets away with it, buddy. And the way, and I'll also throw to that, and you know, a lot of talk, and I pick John Brown to win the MVP. Defensive, so I have no problem. But what I'm saying is John Brown, the way he rebounds, the way he dives on the ball, Bull does that. Bull does that as well. So that's why I'm saying I don't have a problem. Would I want to be guarded by him? Hell no. You'd want to rip at the referee's throat out for not calling it, right? I get it. But
That's not good defense. That's off the ball. It's subjective. Thuggery. That's what it is. It's off the ball thuggery. As I said, the guys I mentioned, guys like Damian Martin, Darren Lucas, Darnell Mee, what have they all got in common other than the fact that all their names start with a D and they're great at D? Interesting coincidence. But, you know, like the way they play the game.
No, you got something there. I've never seen that. That's fantastic.
But the way they played was like it was physical, it was aggressive, but they weren't holding you off the ball. They weren't doing shitty things to you when you were making a cut. They just weren't. They're playing basketball the way it should be played. Not
fair enough.
When Bull was doing that, which is more or less at Cairns, more so than the Kings, I was a huge fan of his, but he's lost me. He's lost me. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, to our listeners, Boddy's had his say. I want to throw it out to you guys now. Let the little chatter go and let us know your thought. But let's run through, because then we're going to get to the games eventually. Let's run through the MVPs. Of course, Bryce Cotton is the Andrew Gaze Most Valuable Player. Gorge got the Coach of the Year, as we said. Most Improved, Flynn Cameron. I had no issue with that.
We picked that.
Best Six Man, Angus Glover, 64 votes, mind you. Beat Quop Noy by 20. So I thought that was a lot of noise
being made on air with him.
John Brown, to me, no doubt. And he was 75 votes to the next best 27. The step one, Sam Meninga, well done. And he, like, big gap between voting there. I picked Karim because I thought it was going to be that. But I have no problems with that. Sam Meninga had a brilliant year.
I would have been happy with either of them. Karim being 19, I would have gone because it's a next gen award. You're basically saying, what are we going to see from this guy in the future? You know, so we're going to see great things from Sam Meninga, no question. But we're already seeing that. And so I wasn't unhappy that he won.
It's hard, isn't it? Like it's a next gen where you just think the next one coming through, where Sam Meninga is not coming through. He's an outright superstar. But then you could argue that with Sam Folling. He's an outright superstar and he's got it as well. So it's voted. It's good. And that's all it is. Right. So we then go to the All-NBL team. Now, I got four out of the five. I know, but it's Bryce, Kendrick, Nathan, Doolittle and Brown. And then the second one, McVay, PJC, Cooks, Hamilton and Cheatham. I had John Brown in my second team and Cheatham in the first. So I was pretty right there. Couple wrong in the second. Referee, Michael Allen, and then Nick Barbato, Executive of the Year. Finals MVP, we knew Bryce Cotton. And then we move on. So
Before we move on, the reason I have no interest whatsoever in the first team and the second team is because they're not teams, all right? They're positionless. And that's great. People talk about positionless basketball as the future. So, but basically the first team is the first five vote getters in the MVP and the second team is the next group.
And that's not how it should be.
It should be a team.
I get it. Five players. I get it. And I would prefer it to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I have no problems with that. But I don't have the problem with it calling it a team just because we're picking the top five players. Nah. I don't know, but that's fine.
I could pick a team that would beat that five.
Okay. All right. So now let's talk about it. Right. So we have our top six. Sydney, Adelaide, South East, Perth, Melbourne, Tasmania. I hate to say it. That's what I had at round 20 and I've had it for quite a while. So we now have Tasmania going to Melbourne.
You didn't hate to say that. You say you hated to say that, but you loved saying
absolutely loved every minute of it. I'm just not even pretending as well anymore.
Well, you were pretending.
No, I was trying to, but now you can bugger off. Okay, so we obviously have game. Well, there's a FIBA break, which was fantastic that we're going to have the Boomers playing.
That's right. We don't want any momentum. We want all momentum lost.
Right, so now we've got the seeding qualifier, which will be on the Wednesday the 4th, which is South East versus Perth. The winner of that advances to play Adelaide. The loser will play the winner of the next night, which is the Thursday, where Tasmania go to Melbourne. So talk to me, buddy. Me first, before you do. South East play Adelaide, Perth to play... Oh, I'm struggling with this Melbourne-Tasmania one, but I'm going to go Melbourne because they're at home. But Jesus, Scott Roth team, I can't believe I'm saying that.
No, I can, because look, we've got to that point where Tasmania has hit the wall. You know, that 103-70 loss in the last round to Illawarra. I mean, basically now your starting group, let's look at it. It's Tiger Campbell, it's David Johnson, Nick Marshall, Majuk Deng and Josh Bannon, many of whom would have been coming off the bench. And then off the bench, you've got Anthony Drimmick, and then all due respect to the rest of them, it is the rest of them. So we've gone too deep now. We've gone too deep here. There's too many good players missing from that group. Melbourne is at full strength. They may be down Shea Ely, but they've been down Shea Ely for most of the season. So I expect Melbourne will win that. And just the way they played against Southeast Melbourne in the late in the season, I think they've turned the corner as far as beating Tasmania goes. I have no qualms about picking them for that game.
I just think, you know, you just never know. Like, there's just a few players. I know. But, oh, mate. Well, we gave that shout out for them. So, all right. So, I mean, you know, let's just do it as well. Do you think it's still a Sydney Southeast? I think that's what you said. That's what I said, and I'm going for that. I still think it's Sydney Southeast final.
I'd like to see how the pieces fall now, because Adelaide, as we said earlier in the season, once you've got Bryce Cotton, unless you've surrounded him with a bunch of clowns, which they haven't, him with some real talent, then you're going to be in a semi-final. But can they win a semi-final series? Can they get to a grand final series? Well, what they've shown us in a lot of the bigger games, including last weekend and the Ignite Cup final, is they don't get it done.
Awesome. So let's go. I'm glad you brought that up. How good was that Ignite Cup? I loved it. I thought it was great. What was it? It was like 10 shots in a row that everyone made. The atmosphere was great. Kudos to the NBL. That is not an easy thing to go to Gold Coast, where there's no team playing, right? And fill that stadium. Don't care how they did it. Get the atmosphere. I enjoyed it. The telecast was great. The energy was great. I really, really enjoyed that game. And the players bought it, man. And how good was it to see, like, this meant the world to New Zealand, right? Well, the players, how good and I'm going to come to my best moment soon, but I'm going to tell you a moment that wasn't my best moment, but it was bloody good. Hey, Parker, in the after game press conference. So, you know, how does it feel? Is it, you know, is it about the winner? Is it about the money? No, right now it's about the money. Like, it was just gold, man.
No BS. There it is. There's the truth.
It's about the money.
Yeah. And that's what you want. You want honesty.
Yeah, loved every bit of it. So please God they keep that going next year, because we got extra games on a Wednesday night. I'm going to ask you this. Scott Roth came out and said they've got to look at the schedule.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, please.
Oh, I agree with him. I have not seen a season so decimated by injury. The teams that have actually got through to the top, like Southeast Melbourne has been pretty lucky in terms of injuries. Adelaide has been pretty lucky in terms of injuries. Sydney had to combat it, but they've sort of come home now and they're in good shape. But you look through, Melbourne's another one that basically escaped serious injury except to Shea Ely and then a little bit with Chris Gordy.
I disagree. But
I look at all the rest of them have been decimated, mate.
I disagree.
Brisbane
I disagree.
Decimated, Tasmania decimated.
I disagree.
Cairns decimated.
I'll tell you, okay, here's my opinion on why I say this, right? Number one, it was what, 4 extra games? Right, that's all it was. Maybe 5 if you count from last year. So 4 or 5 extra games. Here's what I think it is. players are playing 12 months throughout the year now, right? They're not playing like when back in my day, it's the 6 months. You rest up. You don't touch your body for a month after the season. You get ready, then you gradually build up again. Now, I have no disrespect to players that go for it, mate. You got to earn your coin. I think it comes back to the way trainings and the way sports and science have got into this world of basketball right now. I think there's too much heat on people's body, and that's where it's got to be looked at. It's not how many games.
Question for you. Did you go 6 months without touching your body? I find that hard to believe.
Mate, I can't go 6 minutes without touching my body.
We're doing the Nathan Sobey, touch the hair.
But if you're wondering, my wife has gone a year and a half without touching it, so she hasn't touched my body for ages.
Look, I agree with you. I think the off-season, it should be the off-season. You should take time off.
But here's the problem, buddy. But see, this is where I always see it. If you were a team, like when I was coming into the league, we didn't have the off seasons because it was a winter league. So you couldn't play NBL 1 or ABA, right?
Yes,
but what I did do, certainly in my first year, you could play both and do a little bit more. If you're not banking the minutes of what you're doing in the NBL, then I have no problems with you playing NBL 1 for two reasons. One, you need the minutes so you can get going. And two, you need the coin. I get it. Like, I've got no problems with that. But for these players that are playing all year round, I don't have an answer to that because they've got to earn their coin. They've got to do what they've got to do. But the NBL can't succeed and make money in paying players if we keep paying the amounts we're paying by playing 25 and 30 games. You can't. You need more games. It needs more production. It needs the TV. It needs the revenue. And that's why I can't see. Now, do you have more gaps? I don't know how you do it that way. But I just think it's less training. It's different training. And you got to do it on the fly.
When you were playing, did they still have the bottoms in the peach baskets, or had they already cut them off so the ball could come through?
My bottom got cut off heaps of years ago. But is a very valid thing. I can understand where Coach Roth is coming from.
I'm with Scott Roth and I'm with you too. I think both of you are making good sense. I think you've got to look at the scheduling and how. So if you have a Wednesday night game, maybe you don't play again till Sunday. You know, if you're on a Wednesday, you're not playing Friday.
Completely agree, but now you're dealing with, so much that comes into that. And you know that venue availability.
That's the job.
Let's go on now, because we've had a lot of chat. We've chatted about everything. Give me your best moment, please.
My best moment. No, I'd rather you go, but because you came up with it first and I'm agreeing with you, so you give me your best moment.
Carlin Davison, that dunk that he did, I think it was over Isaac and Xylem Cheatham, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, man. He just went upstairs and bang and swung around. That was a dunk and a half. That was my favourite moment, no question.
Yeah, well, see, that was so outstanding. And that was Isaac Humphries, not Isaac White.
Did I say White?
No, you just said Isaac.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm just clarifying.
Let's not go to 6-1. Let's go to 7-1.
Yeah. Honestly, I can't think of another moment that was better than that. That was awesome athleticism and audacious. Like, I'm taking on the two of the biggest
Andrew
guys in the other team.
Word. He likes to use audacious.
Does he?
Ooh, yes.
You see, he must be reading books these days. Expand his word power. All right. That was it.
Who's your player of the round?
My player of the round. Parker Jackson Cartwright. I thought his performance in the Ignite Cup was excellent. You know, there have been times I thought he's handled the ball too much and he's hurt them in the end game, but in this particular situation, he was outstanding and, deserving the MVP of that.
Ignite Cup. I mean, look, I had that as well because I thought it was brilliant. A bit of a shout-out because I thought KD 31-8, but it was a bit of Brisbane. I think you could get 31 in Brisbane at the moment. So,
temperature's 31 in Brisbane.
Yeah. See, I told you could get it. So I agree. PJC, great, and love seeing that. Now, I'm going to go straight to my Rose and Rattler. Mike Wells, I've respected what you've done this year from coming from a team that what came fifth last year and squeezed in, and there was all that turmoil and everything, supposedly, to be able to, you know, obviously get Bryce Cotton and all of that thing. And Bryce had some lovely words to say about him in the presentation speech for his MVP.
Wouldn't he? He's allowed to do anything he wants.
Right. Well, good, but that was lovely. But that last second play in Perth, I don't understand. Now, I'm going to take Coach Wells out of this for a second. I can't stand and have never stood that you dribble the ball out. I don't like it. You call it respect, whatever you want to call it. I don't like it. Now, I'm going to come from a guy that, you know, at the start of his career was lucky to get on the court. And when you did at the end of the game, man, I want to score. I want to play. I don't want to walk up and down the court for the last 38 seconds of the game. No, you shoot it. No, you shoot. I want to play till the final buzzer. Before I go any further, here's something that I want to give you, Boddy, and this is why I disagree. The Melbourne United at one stage, right? Sorry, let's go New Zealand Breakers and Illawarra Hawks. Now, they were one game out of the playoffs. One. Now, if they won one extra game, the whole thing changes and it all comes on points. We've seen teams miss out on 6th, 7th, and 8th by one basket. Now, how many games at the end of the – what do we play, 160, 70? I have no idea how many games. How many of those are we dribbling out at the end of the game, which is coming less now because people are concentrating? Yes. But how many do we do this where you could have a situation where if Perth even – got a win, one extra win, they could have cut, like, it's so much time. Like, I don't understand how someone can be upset. That's what I don't understand. And I know the point meant nothing in that game. You play, mate, every second time. But sorry, I'm rambling on. Go.
Even without points percentage, when you say that it disrespects the opposition when you continue to play it out, that's such a load of bullshit. You disrespect the spectators who paid money to see a 40-minute game, not a 38-minute game or a 39-minute game, but a 40-minute game. And those kids who get their opportunity, 10, 11, 12, who get to come on in a blowout for the last couple of minutes, they don't want to bounce the ball. They want to show what they can do. So that's an absolute nonsense. It's a crock. It's disrespectful to dribble it out. Mike Wills has got that 100% wrong, and John Riley in his press conference had it 100% right when he said there's a cultural difference. We're actually looking after the people that are coming to the game, and we're looking after those kids that we're trying to develop, not, we're disrespecting the opponent because we want
to... I just don't understand why it was even needed, mate. Like, you just... It's done.
I'll tell you why.
But I don't...
That takes you to my
nasty. Okay, go on.
I'll tell you why. I think Mike Wells has proven to be the master of deflection. Like, he takes control of the narrative straight away. Now, they just lost to Perth by 12 points. Pretty ordinary performance. Maybe it didn't mean anything to him, but do you want to go into the finals on a losing form? No. So he creates that situation with John Riley, and that's what we talk about in the press conference, not about, hey, how poorly did your team do? A week earlier when they beat New Zealand after Bryce Cotton required 42 points and a winning shot, right? He goes into the press conference, and before anyone's got a chance to say, you must have been a little unhappy with that, considering New Zealand was down Rob Baker, Kareem Lopez, and Sam Meninga, before anyone's got a chance to challenge him on the way his team's played, he immediately controls the narrative by saying, oh, if Bryce Cotton doesn't win the MVP, I want to know why. And he starts talking about that. So he's hijacked it, and we don't actually look at what the flaws are, what the problems might be within that team. And let's face it, if they were to win the championship from here, they will have done an outstanding job because they're not the form team going into the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination.
Fair call. My only comment with that is isn't part of a job of a coach to do the deflection?
Yeah, but I mean, what's our media doing today, Brad? What is our media? Are they just sitting there writing like a bunch of, you know, zombies? Oh, that's what he said. We'll write that down. It's like, ask some questions. So. Yeah. Ask some pertinent questions. Yeah. I've got a quick pertinent question to ask you. Who do you think the Boomers are going to beat? Are they going to beat Guam? Are they going to beat the Philippines? Or is this going to be the major international upset of 2026?
I am going to say to everyone out there listening that it's been fabulous to talk to you. We hope you had a great week listening to us. I'm sorry we've rambled on. Who cares, buddy? Thank you, my man. And everyone, enjoy the week. Have a fantastic time watching, well, nothing except for the beautiful WNBL because there's no NBL on this week, but we start all up next week. Botton, my friend, see you next week.
Look forward to it.
Mate, is the Boomers even on TV?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're taking the feed from Guam CCTV.